T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And Mike, I do have, Matt, I do have an echo on my ear, if you can fix that. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And hopefully Matt can fix that echo that's hitting my ear. It's a little hard to talk and hear yourself. There you go, Matt. Thank you so much. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And we are streaming live over at WTIC's Facebook page. And if you want to follow us there, you can. If you want to add comments and questions, we'll do our best to try to answer them while you're on the stream as well. So feel free to get over there if you'd like. And as we're usual and customary, we have some news for us this morning, huh, Bob?
Yes, we do.
What do you got?
Okay. Tesla was the target of a failed cyber attack.
Yeah.
Elon Musk confirms.
Yep.
Following the reports of a failed attempt to introduce malware into the company's Nevada Gigafactory, Tesla's CEO took to Twitter to confirm the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla's Gigafactory plant in Nevada was the target of an attempted cyber attack. CEO Elon Musk confirmed on Thursday the confirmation follows the reports of the thwarted attempt. Although the company had not spoken publicly about the situation, Musk tweeted that it was a serious attack.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Department of Justice earlier this week announced the arrest of a Russian national and described a plot to introduce malware into the Nevada company's computer network.
Yep.
The Department of Justice did not mention Tesla by name in the announcement as part of the plan. The Russian individual allegedly worked to recruit an employee at Tesla's Gigafactory to introduce the malware.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, their goal was to steal data and hold the information for ransom, according to the Department of Justice. The
right.
targeted employee was to receive a bribe of $1 million to carry out the attack, the complaint alleged. The Tesla employee instead notified the FBI and worked with the agency to thwart the theft, leading to the arrest. The suspect attempted to flee the U.S. after the FBI initially made contact. The Department of Justice.
They knocked on his door and said, "Hey, were you involved in something?"
The Department of Justice charged the suspect with one count of conspiracy to intentionally cause damage to a protected computer.
Yep.
Musk said the employee's actions are much appreciated in the same tweet. Tesla did not immediately respond to the roadshow's request for comment.
This is a CNET.
/ roadshow article, and we'll post a link to it.
Yes, we will. So the moral of the story is, even with all the great security you have on your systems, your internal people are often the biggest and weakest link.
Right.
In this case, this person stepped up and did the right thing, which is great.
Well, he wasn't willing to sell his integrity for $1 million, which
right.
is really great.
It is really great. It's good to hear. In other news, this is kind of interesting. Apple and Facebook are going back and forth, and it's kind of funny. So Apple right now is rejecting a Facebook app that tells users that Apple takes a 30% cut of the in-app purchases that occur. So in this case, this app was going to go toward, you know, people can raise some money for a nonprofit or for whatever it might be as far as how this app was going to work. And the Facebook folks put a big warning. Now, you know, our social media companies are putting warnings about everything. So, of course, it made sense for Facebook to put a warning to tell everybody, hey, by the way, Apple takes 30% of this purchase. Just so you know, that's public knowledge. But, of course, Apple said, well, then we're not going to have it on our iStore. You can't post your app there. So they said, sorry, no app for you, and rejected it. Now, back and forth here with Facebook and Apple, I don't have the article in front of me, but I read it recently. The latest iPhone out there is now offering more privacy. So when you're surfing on Facebook, you're anonymized, which really greatly harms Mr. Zuckerberg because he doesn't know about you and what you're doing. He just knows you're an iPhone on the system surfing Facebook. He doesn't know all the other information he was scraping from your phone. I'm hoping Android does the same thing to Mr. Zuckerberg, but all the folks who are marketing on Facebook are a little upset that Apple is offering its people, its users, more security and privacy. And that has been one of the key functions of Apple as far as what it offers. It tries to offer more security to its users, and that's really been its hallmark for a long time. And in this case, Facebook doesn't appreciate it. So back and forth with Apple and Facebook. But anything you buy on Apple Store within the in-app purchases, Apple gets a 30% vig.
So we got the battle of the billionaires going on.
Yep, they really do. In other news, you want to bring anything else up?
Yeah, as Tesla Battery Day approaches, Elon Musk hints at major capacity increases. Musk thinks Tesla could build batteries with 50% more energy density in as few as 3 years. Something stirring over at Tesla. The company's highly anticipated Battery Day is just on the horizon. And ahead of the event, CEO Elon Musk shared some insight into energy density via Twitter. Replying to a Twitter thread surrounding the possibility of an electric airplane, mm-hmm. Musk said batteries with 400 watts per kilogram are highly likely in the next 3 to 4 years, and not just one-offs either, but mass-produced batteries with long life cycles, too.
Good.
This type of energy density could provide 50% more energy density compared with today's batteries, noting that today's batteries used in the Tesla Model 3 featured an energy density of 260 watts per kilogram.
Mm-hmm.
The more energy packed into the battery, the longer the driving range for a vehicle. And the article goes on, the life of the battery is going to be extended as well.
But this is 3 years out. So if you've got a current Tesla, that's probably not going to change unless you pay for the upgrade, right? Because they throttle your system right now.
Well, that's what they're doing now. But hopefully that model will change when they get these big, higher capacity, lighter weight, longer lasting batteries.
Right. And I have another story that was kind of interesting that Tesla is also trying to thwart people who are using Boost 50. And basically it's a way for Tesla owners to hack their car because, you know, hey, Elon's got to make a buck. And so your car might have a larger capacity right now to get further with your battery, but they actually throttle it. And you have to drop a couple extra grand to get more capacity or even get the upgrade for the acceleration, the ludicrous speed acceleration they offer you. It's all a software hack. And so now there's these third parties coming out that are offering these hacks to your Tesla, and Tesla's trying to fight back saying, look, hey, you know, we can't necessarily warranty what's going on with your car if you apply these hacks to it. So we'll see what goes on. If you can afford an $80,000 vehicle, I know we helped subsidize it. Taxpayers covered a little bit for you. But if you can afford a $80,000 vehicle, you can afford to pay for the little $2,000 upgrade that Mr. Elon is asking for, although I think he should have given it to you in the first place. I mean, offering it as crippleware seems kind of a silly way to market your product. I found this kind of interesting out there in the era of masks. Here's one that actually might help you. LG unveils battery-powered air-purifying face mask. The battery life will range from 8 hours on the low setting to 2 hours on the high setting. Basically, on Thursday, they announced an air purifying face mask, which the company plans to show off at next week's IFA trade show in Berlin. Not Berlin, Connecticut. The face mask will fit like many others, with loops that hook behind the ears. But LG said it will include two high-quality HEPA filters that can remove at least 99.97% of particulates in the air, down to 0.3 microns. Now, I don't know that the coronavirus is... I think it's smaller than 0.3 microns, but I don't know. But hey, you know, it's something. At least you get fresh air if you're behind a Mack truck or something like that.
Well, theoretically, though, it's those viruses are enclosed in water droplets.
Correct.
Vapor, which would be a little larger.
They would be a little larger, yep. So we'll put a link out here for you to check out the battery-powered face mask. It's going to have dual fans along with the filter. So I don't know what it's going to sound like. I mean, just imagine what your face is going to sound like. Buzzing along with your face mask. As it is, it's hard to understand each other with these face masks on. Now you add a battery-powered LG face mask, and who knows what's going to happen. But your air will be nice and clean. We'll put the link up there for you as well. Michael put that live as well for you over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. I also wanted to bring up, we talked about it a little bit last week, the big-ass fan company. If you read the article we posted, it talked about the dangers of using UV light in a wand because, of course, you could hit your own skin. But the big-ass fan company, I think, has a tremendous opportunity, and I'm going to put the actual link to their company on our page, where they actually take the UV light and position it pointing up so it wouldn't impact any of us, but it will kill anything in the air. And it seems like a great way, and they actually talk about how they're going to kill the coronavirus and any other viruses that are in the air while you just use their fan. And it seems really smart to me. And, of course, if you're a restaurant or you're a big venue looking to get people back inside, you know, this might be a great way to do it. Just say, hey, I got a big-ass fan.
Yeah, they could put all sorts of those fans in the schools and, you know, hallways and what have you. And, you know, large buildings.
Yeah, so I'm going to put a link as well to that. So take a look at that when you get a chance. So it's a rainy Saturday here. Feel free to get online. We're also over at WTIC's Facebook page. Feel free to post your comments and shares, please, so Zuckerberg deems our show worthy. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Bob and I will be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tad. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He is one of the MCSCs at Tad. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Wide open lines right now. If wherever you're calling from, 800-966-WTIC is toll free. And so if wherever you're calling from, feel free to get online, and we'll be happy to pick up the toll call. While we're waiting for your calls, I did want to bring up this news article here. Adobe. So we've talked about Lightroom many times on the digital camera shows, and I know Carmen Filarmo had recommended Lightroom a lot, and I was very positive on the software. However, if you happen to be running Lightroom on your Apple device, unfortunately, any of the iOS devices like your iPad, your iPhone, or what have you, it turns out that the new update deleted all your photos and settings. So Lightroom updated. If you didn't back up your photos, if you didn't back up your settings, and these are even presets that you purchased, I guess, you're out of luck. They're all gone. And I'll put a link up here for you. But this is the reason you need to really protect your data. You need to back it up. You have no idea how you're going to lose it. The one thing we can guarantee is you probably are going to lose it someday if you don't back it up. So whether it be a software update, whether it be ransomware, whether it be a hardware failure, whether it be a six-year-old just playing on your computer, your data is going to go. And if you don't have it backed up in some way, shape, or form, you might lose something that's precious to you, especially photos. So in this case, pictures and presets are gone for good. If you happen to be running the latest version of Lightroom update on your Apple device. So sorry about that. That's what happens out there. So make sure you get a backup going. Go ahead and refresh, Bob, to see what we got on the call screen. There we go. So let's go to calls, and we're going to go to Joe in Berlin first. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm running Firefox.
Sure.
And when I And what I want to do is use Outlook. When I click on a link to, email somebody.
Yeah.
And what it does, it just keeps opening, as far as I know, an infinite number of Outlook settings. It just keeps opening. And the only way I can stop this is to power the machine down.
Wow.
And then reboot.
That is not good.
Tell me.
What version of Outlook are you running?
Well, 365.
Oh, okay.
So, and I do all my updates. Hopefully it's the latest version. And I also the same thing with Firefox. I update Firefox too. And
so it's opening automatically over and over and over again when you click on an email link.
Correct.
Right.
Or even if I click on, if I go to a file and say, email link,
mm-hmm.
and it asks me which email link I want to use. If I click on Outlook execute, it just goes bananas.
I'm trying to find it. You found one out there? Well, Bob actually might have an answer.
Well,
I couldn't figure out how to find anything online. So.
Well, we're trying to, and there's a lot of issues with 365. So unfortunately, there's a lot that comes up.
Yeah, I don't have an answer specifically at this point,
mm-hmm.
but two combinations that I know of, which I have found, but it doesn't address this specific issue. Is one is to make sure that Firefox is your default browser, and then the other one is to make sure that your Outlook is set as the default email handler.
And they both are, yep.
Yeah, okay. Those two things. Then there's more to it, and I'm working on finding that answer as we speak.
Yeah, but there's a lot of 365 problems, so we're wading through a mountain of issues.
Okay. Now, also, somehow in the background, Windows is also loading their default browser. I forgot what it's called. But
wait a minute. Wait, so Edge is trying to load too?
Edge, yes. Edge is loaded also. But it's
trying to execute?
No, it's not. But it is, in the background here.
Correct, but it's not trying to execute because you just confirmed
correct.
With Bob that it's you're not using it as your primary. Have you tried
correct.
Using a different browser to see if 365 works better? Have you brought up Chrome instead of Firefox to see if the problem moves?
No, I'm very paranoid.
Okay.
No, I have not. Everything, the way I have it set up, everything runs good. I'm very happy except for this one issue.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some, sometimes you go to a link and they don't tell you what the email address is. It just says click here and it tries to open the default, email link and then everything goes crazy and I can't.
Okay. I have something that may or may not help you. So we can post this. It says to change the program and to set it in Firefox, and it explains how to do that. So it says you got to set your mail client.
Well, I've done that. Yeah,
within Firefox.
Within Firefox, yeah. It says mail to, and right now I have it set for always ask. If I set to Microsoft Outlook. Then I can't even. If I set the Microsoft Outlook, then the whole system crashes.
Whoa! Oh.
Well, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah. So I'm gonna. When you talk about being paranoid, we're coming up against a hard break here. I don't hear the outro music yet. But what do you mean by paranoid?
Well, no. I'm, the way I have it right now, no viruses, no. I don't want to go any place where I might have issues.
Okay. Okay, so I hear you, but I think you may want to try Google Chrome to see if it works better with your 365 configuration.
You guys scared me with Google because I do have a couple Google email accounts, and they want to know everything about me. And
they already know it about you. They already know.
I know, but I just the heck with it, guys.
All right, I hear you. Go ahead and try the things that Bob brought up. Set your mail client there within Firefox. If it still causes an issue, I think you're going to have to go over to Google Chrome. And we got to step out for a hard break here, okay? Thanks for calling.
I'll try Chrome. I'll let you guys know. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. All right, bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, and we are live over at WTIC's Facebook page, Facebook Live Broadcast. If you want to make a comment, a question, or a concern, we'll try to bring it up during the show. I do have my glasses on now so I can see the information, which is nice. And I will do our best for you. So let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Thurston in Farmington next. What's going on, Thurston?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I need a specific banking and trading Chromebook. I'm only going to use it for that.
Yep.
I want to pay as little as possible, but I want it to be obviously secure.
Right.
And, you know, quick.
Okay, that's a lot of things you need versus the cost. So the quick piece is you're really going to need a powerful CPU, RAM, and hard drive. Believe it or not, Chrome is a resource hog. Even on our regular Windows PCs, Chrome is going to gobble up every bit of resources, much more than you'd ever expect a browser to gobble up. And when it becomes your operating system, it's just as bad. So you can't skimp too much there. So I would recommend getting an i5 or better processor, an Intel processor, 8 gigs of RAM, and a solid-state hard drive. It's not worth skimping on this if you want it to be quick. So keep that in mind. HP's got some good Chromebooks out there. You know, that's the brand we typically recommend for portable devices through our business customers. And I've recommended them for students and what have you for use at school. I wouldn't use a Chromebook for college students, but for elementary and high school it would work fine.
Yeah, this is just going to be, you know, just going to do my banking, just going to do my trade. Now, I've seen some that are like 4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, it's on the low end, but yeah, you could probably get away with that.
Okay, and would I only be using Google Chrome as the browser, or can you get better ones, or do you recommend I just stick with the Chrome? Or
ironic, right? Wouldn't it be? It'd be ironic if you use a different browser on a Chromebook.
Right.
But you could use more private browsers that are out there if you want it to be more private. You could also make sure you incorporate a VPN when you make your connections. But again, you're going to be in your home, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to worry about that too much. I would tell you to consider just using Chrome within Chromebook. You're probably asking for more trouble by trying to use a different browser.
All right.
But you can. It's not that you can't. I just don't have a lot of information on the more private browsers that are out there.
And what am I looking at for a price range, say, from the 4 gig to the 8 gig?
Well, if you combine all the specs I gave you, you could probably find yourself spending $600 or $700.
Oh, I was thinking more like $150.
You're not going to be happy with that. If you're going to get a $150 Chromebook, you're going to be, you know, the stock market's going to drop 10% by the time you hit sell.
Really? Because that's kind of what I need. It's really just for that. But I'm not going to be day trading necessarily.
Good.
where I'm you know, buying stuff and selling things within the, you know, a couple of minutes of each other. But
yeah, you know, $150 Chromebook.
You want to be able to.
Yeah, don't get a $150 Chromebook. Trust me on that. You're not going to be happy with it. You can go to the big box stores.
You could keep the economy going, buy the $150 one, and then find out you're not happy with it, and then go buy the $600 one.
That's true. He's right.
I'm not in a position to be doing that yet.
Yeah. In our business, it really comes down to you get what you pay for. I mean, we have this issue even explaining to companies why you want a little more performance in your computer rather than having your people wait for the processing to occur. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, you're just doing banking and trading. If you want to wait for it, you can. But $150 is really cheap.
Yeah, because I mean, everybody's out of stock where I've been looking. But
Yeah, that's another problem.
They can't make them faster.
I've even found one with like a big full-size screen for $180.
Mm-hmm. But the processor is probably...
And I think it was a 4-gig processor or 4-gig RAM.
4 gigs of RAM, but probably an i3 processor, if I had to guess. Or even something less.
Or an Atom.
Could be an Atom.
You know what?
Because the processor is, just to give you an idea, a good processor is going to cost you, $150 for a good processor.
Just the processor.
Yeah. So if you're not getting a whole device for that price, you might have a hamster inside there running a little wheel.
Let's see here. Intel Celeron.
Yeah, there it is, right there. Celeron.
I'm sorry.
It's a Celeron, so it's barely a processor.
Oh, so that's like the bottom of the barrel.
Correct. You'll have more power, processing power in your thermostat.
The Celeron is the scrapings at the bottom of the barrel.
Exactly. But it's a CPU, so this is the problem. They're trying to find a price point, and they're saying, hey, it's a Chromebook. And then there's a Chromebook over there for $800, and you got to ask yourself, well, what's the difference? Well, there's a huge difference. It's not just that it's a shiny case or anything like that.
Huh. And all the ones that I was looking at had the Intel Celeron, so...
Yeah, don't get a Celeron. I mean, again, if you don't care about speed.
Yeah, so I'll need at least an i5 or an i5.
i5 is the minimum I'd recommend if you want something to actually perform and work well. These systems are only going to get bigger and more bloated. They're already that way now. And for a browser-based system, Chrome is a resource hog. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Don't go too cheap there, Thurston. I mean, with a name like Thurston, I always think of Thurston Howell, right? So you've got nothing but money to spend on a Chromebook.
We've gotten a couple generations apart now, so we don't have access to his fully furnished 3-hour tour.
There it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard that little joke a million times, right?
Yes. So Thurston's my radio name, so it's not even my real name.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay. All right, gentlemen, thanks a lot. I'll have to rebudget.
Yes.
I guess if I do well in the stock market, it'll all be worthwhile.
Exactly. All right, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. It was not often you see a Thurston on the screen in our show, but I almost wanted to ask him what his radio show was about, but I wasn't sure I wanted to get into that. Feel free to get online, guys. We've got one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are live over at Facebook, over on WTIC's Facebook page. And if you want to post a comment right there, we'll see what we can do. There was a couple comments about the big-ass fan company, and I guess an insurance company in Bloomfield put one up, and then they had trouble with people talking about it, using misuse of language. But it's the name of the company. What are you going to do? Especially if they're going to have a solution to COVID within your building, if it can actually kill the virus just by moving the air around right over the fan. I don't know. It seems like a good idea to me. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're online, live on Facebook, too, if you want to check us out there on this rainy Saturday morning. Let's go to your calls, though. You're nice enough to join us. We're going to go to Chuck in Durham first. What's going on out there, Chuck?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So the power's on and the generator's off, so everything's good.
Good for you. That's awesome.
We got a post that says the weather started getting rough.
So the other day, my daughter bought a new refurb PC.
A new refurb PC.
Well,
okay.
New to her.
Gotcha.
Okay. New refurb PC. The little I know about the specs, it was an i7 and it had a lot of memory.
Good.
That's all I know. But it's not a brand I've ever seen.
Okay.
It communicates to my router through a little dongle, I guess is what they call it.
Okay.
All right. So anyhow, I have a Cisco Linksys 4200 router.
Yeah.
I have changed the SS, whatever they call it.
SSID.
SSIDs for OpenDNS.
Okay.
And I convinced her to buy Webroot.
All right.
All right. So she installed WebRoot, and we believe, I might have the sequence wrong, but anyhow, when she connected up to my router, she got a message that said that the router was insecure. And I don't know what to check, because when I installed the router, which seems like 5 years ago, which was probably more like 8 or 9, I did change the password, and I think that's about all I ever did with it, other than the open DNS.
Her computer's not going to know that anyways. What do you think it is, Bob?
Well, I'm wondering if you have the SSID set with open, as being open, so that you don't need a passphrase to get it to connect to it. That's what it sounds like to me.
No, there is. Oh,
so when you connect, you have
a password required.
Okay.
So yeah. So then, you know, I would wonder what spec does it have. You know, some of the older protocols are very insecure. So you want to get to a newer protocol.
So if I tell you I have a Cisco Linksys 4200, you would describe that as old or new?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, that's pretty old.
Yeah. This is what you guys tell me all the time.
Well, anything that's 4 or 5 years old is old to us.
Oh, well, then we're old.
Yeah. But again, it doesn't necessarily mean that this warning you're getting is necessarily about that.
I would say, I would look, log in and look and see what protocol you're using. If you're using WEP, which is wired equivalent protocol.
WEP. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a low security level.
That would be one of the first protocols they came out with, which was very insecure. So I would upgrade that to a different level.
In the same router, or replace the router?
Well, if you replace the router by default, it'll not even let you config. Well, it probably will let you, but it won't offer that as a primary config.
Okay.
But again, it may not be your router doing this. It might just be the site she's going to. The warnings you could be getting would be through your web, the browser itself. The browser is not that smart about being able to tell you if your firewall's insecure. At least I've never seen that before. So she might be going to a website that is assuming it's insecure, or it's OpenDNS saying something about security keys, or it's a site that doesn't have an SSL key. It may have nothing to do with your router whatsoever, because I've just never seen that type of diagnostic, unless Bob has.
No, and just so you know, the protocol you want to use would be either WPA or WPA2 would even be better.
Right.
And you would not want Enterprise, because you need a server for that, but you would use with a pre-shared key.
Yeah, I think I'm WPA.
Okay.
I mean, it's just,
you have to go into the SSID configurations to see if you were. So again, where the error is coming up, you really need to have her tell you where she's going.
Now, it wouldn't be the strength of her signal to my router, right?
Nope.
No, okay.
And the dongle you're talking about, there, because it's a refurbished laptop, it must have an issue with its internal Wi-Fi card. So
yep.
They gave you an external USB dongle to connect, because that wireless is broken, most likely, in her refurbished computer.
Okay. So
if you have a wireless USB wireless dongle, maybe just upgrading the dongle would fix the problem.
Well, she's already ordered. She didn't wait till Saturday morning and already ordered a new dongle.
Oh, she did. Okay. But she is able to connect to your system, right?
Yeah, yes, she is. Yeah, but she says, she described it to me as like it's with a cellular thing with a number of bars.
Yeah.
And she says she's got 3 bars, not 4 or something.
Okay. Well, it also depends on what she's connecting to. Your series might only offer a 2.4 gigahertz band range, and maybe she'll do better with 5 or vice versa.
Mine's a dual band.
Oh, good. So it's actually, it might be older, but it's still pretty good. So as far as I'm looking right at it, right, the Cisco 4000 series, kind of weird you have that type of router.
Yeah, that was the one the guy in the big box store handed me, and I said, yes, sir.
All right. I mean, it's interesting that they even seems more of like a business router of some kind, kind of boxy. But
that's the one I'm looking at.
Right? Which one are you looking at? Yeah. Oh, okay. It's a different flavor, too. Interesting. Yeah, sometimes with Cisco's.
This is a flat one.
Okay, I'm looking at a branch router. That's why it looks more like a business router. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, have her change the USB wireless, see if that gives her a better connection, but that warning doesn't seem necessarily correct when it comes to
the router. Okay, and I'll check the protocol.
Yeah, make sure your protocol is WPA2, like Bob mentioned, and then see if the error goes away. Also, it's curious where she's going. What website is she going to when she gets that error?
Well, that's not a question I'm going to get answered.
Okay, I gotcha. Honey, where are you going on the browser? I'm not telling you that. Okay. All right, no sweat.
Well, it could be a website that doesn't have a proper security certificate.
Right. That's why I'm saying that. That router may not be your issue.
In the couple $100 price range, what's the routers that you are suggesting?
Well, I'm recommending Cisco Linksys. So I would tell you to look at those routers and look for current ones. The one I have at home is about a $350.
Yeah, I know. I looked at that one. That was... That's a real workhorse. I don't know if I need that.
I hear you. You may not, but they have similar, less expensive flavors that you could look at within that same series. So I tell you to stick with that series.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your information, as always.
Our pleasure. Good luck, sir. Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. Everything's posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Mike G's doing his best to post it wildly for you. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.